This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City. Hello, friends. This is Tom Creighton, inviting you to join me for our next exciting trip to Israel, February 10th through the 21st, 2015. You'll enjoy comprehensive sightseeing, visiting all the holy sites in a deluxe motor coach, and rest every night in a 5-star deluxe hotel. This year, we're adding Mount Nebo and Petra as an extra bonus. So register today to make sure you're a part of this life-changing trip. For a free brochure or more information, call the station at 888-221-8990 or visit our website at WCNO.com and go to the news page.
Who sets the standards today? Have we also, as a church, lost our saltiness? Well, we can't preserve the things of God, the righteousness of God, the holiness of God, the greatness of God. Can the world look at your house, look at your home, look at our lives and say, that woman and that man serves a great God?
Remind parents that Hosea includes adult-related themes that may not be appropriate for young children. So please use discretion in allowing your children to listen to this message. In today's program, Pastor Bernard will continue his discussion on practices that place God's people in a position to be punished. Now here's Pastor Bernard with today's program, The Eviction of God in the Embracing of Idolatry, Part 3.
You notice we're in Chapter 8 of the book of Hosea. And in chapter 8, just like chapter 7, both chapters present to us the punishment of Israel. It lists their sins and their punishment. Every verse visits the sin, and every verse visits their punishment. And what's that for? For the purpose of repentance. You would think once I list out your sin, you come to terms with your sin, and then that you would repent of your sins. And real quickly, just a few issues, major issues that the Israelites had with their God were just in verse 1 of chapter 8. Remember, God spells out exactly what they have done. He said, because they have transgressed my covenant and trespassed against my law, not the Baptist law, not the Catholic law, not the law of the United States, not the Constitution of the United States. God says, against my law. Personally, against me, my covenant, my commandments. I gave you the law. I gave you the prophets. I wrote on stone with my finger the commandments of God. I established a covenant of circumcision that separated you from all nations. You were my bride. You were naked and destitute, and I cleaned you up and put clothes on you and made you my beloved. You've sinned against me, and you trespassed against my law. In verse 3 of chapter 8, we see that Israel had got to a place where they cast him off, threw him away. I call it they evicted God and threw him out of their services, threw him out of their lives, threw him out of the temple. They evicted God, and then they began to embrace the idols that we Not only did you throw out that which is good, Israel, here's what you did. You set up kings and you promoted people that I had nothing to do with. They didn't come by me. You didn't acknowledge me. And again, you began to embrace the idols. And by way of review, we talked about 8 different consequences or 8 practices that place God's people in punishment. We went over 8 practices that place God's people in a position to be punished by God. Remember, the sowing of the wind. Self-preservation, 2. Surrendership of her sovereignty, 3. Stubborn and self-seeking like a wild donkey, 4. And we'll pick up 5 in verse 10. So turn, look at verse 10 as I read the scripture. And then we're going to look at our application for this morning. Hosea 8, verse 10. Yea, though they had hired among the nations, now will I gather them, and they shall sorrow little for the burden of the king of princes. But Ephraim hath made many altars to sin. Altars shall be unto him to sin. I have written to him the great things of my law, but they were counted as a strange thing. They sacrifice flesh for the sacrifices of my offerings and eat it, but the Lord accepted them not. Now will he remember their iniquity and visit their sins. They shall return to Egypt. For the Lord hath, for Israel hath forgotten his maker and builded temples. And Judah had multiplied fenced cities. But I will send a fire upon his cities, and it shall devour the palaces thereof. What a very sad history. Devastating. Not a pretty or a great place to be in when you're at odds with the Holy God. Let's pray. Father, your word reminds us that whatever was written aforetime was written for our learning. That through patience and comfort of the scriptures, we get hope. I pray, oh God, that we look at this genuine, accurate, historical account of the people of Israel, and we being engrafted in, we being blessed to be called your children as the church, and individually, personally, would take heed, would not just leave this lesson in Hosea, but this lesson would influence the way we think and how we live, how we conduct, how we speak, and how we engage the culture. And that we at Cornerstone Bible Fellowship would pursue holiness and righteousness. So God, help us to not just retain, remember, and practice. Take ownership. Conform. Repent where we need to repent. These things we ask for your glory. Amen and amen. Turn your attention to verse 10 as we find the 5th practice that will put Israel, that place Israel, and also put you and a position to be changed, to be chastened by God. Steps of self-preservation secured the judgment of God. That's 5. Again, we repeat, it was their steps, the various actions, the details of their self-preservation. It secured the judgment of God. You see, Israel went way out of their way. They did not leave no expense behind to try to purchase their protection, try to purchase provision, try to purchase security, trying to buy people. I don't think that practice is pretty common today, is it not? Trying to buy relationships, trying to buy, build alliances with people. Israel went out of her way to get involved with nations that didn't care about God. They weren't concerned about the God of the Israelites, but they respected the God of the Israelites. They feared the God of the Israelites. They know this nation, Israel, was a peculiar nation called out by God as well. They know that they were liberated and freed and saw what they did to the Egyptians and other nations and how they conquered the land, but yet, the nations respected God, but Israel, that was supposed to be loving God, serving God, had now soured, stepped on their testimony. See, Israel had lost their witness. At this place, they've lost their witness of the strength of God Almighty, El Shaddai, in their life. Well, El Shaddai, God Almighty, was not good enough, or no longer they rule him as not having the capacity or the ability to protect them or meet their needs. Yes, we know our history. We know what the fathers walked through. But you know what? We're going to do something a little bit different now. We're going to lean to our own understanding, and we're going to use our own natural resources, thy instincts, and we're going to come. You know what? God is no longer big enough to protect us. We need to go to the world to get it done. Did we not do this in America? Do we not do this personally? When you say, well, God, you're no longer wise enough or strong enough. You don't have the know-it-all to help me with my finances, so I'll go to the world for that one. God, you no longer have the power to keep my marriage strong and rich and alive. To help me to raise my children, I think I would turn to the scholars. I think I would turn to the experts on this one. God, I know that was preaching that hellfire and brimstone and telling people that they're going to hell and telling people that they must repent and making them accountable is no longer fashionable or acceptable, no longer productive. So we're going to create a better situation to how to bring people to Jesus Christ. Israel, just like we is in the body of Christ, must be careful that we don't lose the salt and the light. God's called us to be salt and light. Israel, people looked at the nation, saw Israel, that was a nation that feared God. And so they had the law. So they preserved righteousness. They preserved integrity. They preserved morality. They set the post and the standard, if you will, where everyone can see what's right and wrong. If you want to know what's right, if you want to know what's wrong, look at the nation of Israel. They will set that standard and that value for you. Cornerstone Bible Fellowship, let me ask you a question. Who is spilling out the moral fiber for us today? Who sets the standards today? Have we also, as a church, lost our saltiness? Well, we can't preserve the things of God, the righteousness of God, the holiness of God, the greatness of God. Can the world look at your house, look at your home, look at our lives and say, that woman and that man serves a great God? Israel had abandoned the light. People were in the dark. The nations were in the dark. If they had to find the light, they saw the nation of Israel. Today, people are walking in the dark. Our family members are in the dark. Can they see the light? Jesus is the light of the world, church. You know that. And we should be light to the world. We shouldn't be misleading people in our representation of Jesus Christ. Let me ask you a question. How are we doing today? You say Christian, you mention church, it does not have the same power. It does not enjoy the same reference or respect that it used to enjoy. When the nation saw Israel, it maintained, it manifested the might and the majesty of the God of the universe, but now they have turned over to other nations. And no matter how many desperate attempts Israel went to preserve herself, it was setting themselves up for God's judgment. You see, he was going to oppress her, and we can see that in chapter 7, verse 13, for a cross-reference point. God was going to oppress her in order to get her back. He was going to use an instrument of judgment, and that instrument of judgment would be the nation of Assyria, the very people she was contracting with. And we will see that in the 10th chapter of Hosea when we get there. Talking about serious irony. Here's the thought, church. Whenever God's people, when we cancel out the commandments of God, we invite judgment. When we cancel out the covenants of God, don't you know it punctures your personal relationship with Jesus Christ? When you say, I don't need the Bible, I won't turn to the Bible, I don't turn to the scriptures for my direction. What you fail to realize is that you can come here and worship every Sunday. You can go out and do mission work, spiritual ministry. However, when you don't walk under the biblical mandates, when you don't follow the word of God, what you have is a broken, busted relationship. Truth be told, church, you're not tight with God when you do that. We become a house divided. We come here on Sunday morning. We should be on the same page. We should be on the same page with God. But if we don't even adhere and respect his word, your relationship with God, you're not walking together. No matter how often you pray, unless you pray a prayer of repentance, you're not really walking with God. Don't we see the lesson? Hold your place here. Hold your place here. Turn to Amos chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. God says, let me help you come out of your religiosity. You have a false assessment of where you are with God right now. You say, I got a good relationship with God. Me and JC are doing really good. Don't disrespect the Lord by calling him JC. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Look at Amos 3. Amos spells out this way, verses 1 to 3. Hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you, O children of Israel. Who's the word for, God? Against the whole family. Which family, God? Which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. Pause. Consider all the nations. God, there was only one nation that I chose to represent me, one nation that I chose to reveal who I am to the whole world so they can get redemption. One nation, that my one family, and that family was Israel. You only have I known, therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities. And verse 3, can two walk together except they be what? Agreed. Can you walk with me every Sunday and every Wednesday night service or Saturday night service? And God is saying, I got people saying they're in agreement with me, but they're not. We don't agree how they raise their kids. We don't agree how they do their money. We don't agree how they carry themselves. engage with God with your life. Get in agreement with God. Israel was not in agreement with God. You see, I like to communicate this to you this way. We know that a house divided, what? Can't stand. How can a relationship with God grow and flourish, and how can he be the biggest influence in your life when you don't even agree with his word? You unbuckle unity. And the picture God gave me, the unbuckling of unity. See, the belt is his truth. And we are strapped into that truth. And long as we're strapped into truth, we are one with God. But once you unbuckle the seatbelt of truth, once you unbuckle it, guess what? Unity is out the way and you are vulnerable. Every mom, every parent know you take your child and you put them in that seat. And you make sure they're in that seat, that baby seat. And you make sure you put the strap on and you strap them in. And when you strap them in, they get the security. They have the protection. Hey, by the Christ, don't you unbuckle your seatbelt with God. Stay in agreement. Stay united with him. You say, it's too tight. Israel will say, it's too tight. His rituals, his rules, and the way he wants to be worshipped is too restricting, and I can't get loose. I just want to cut loose and be set free, and that's what we've done with God today. God, your Bible is too restrictive. God, your Bible is too tight. Can you loosen up a little bit, God, when it comes down to marriage? Can you loosen up a little bit, God, when it comes down to what I do with money? Can you loosen up a little bit, God? Come on. Cut me up some slack, God. And you have that disposition toward God, and God says, but we're supposed to be in agreement on these things. But we're not in agreement. Let's go back to our text. Turn back now to the book of Hosea. So again, point number 5, steps of self-preservation secure the judgment of God. God was going to judge him anyway. Someone has said that the wheels of judgment, sometimes they turn slow. And God is using that to bring her people back, bring his people back to him. Okay, Pastor, what's that 6th point? We got to get to their religiosity then, because they stink real bad. Sacrifices smelled of hypocrisy and ritualism. Their sacrifices smelled of hypocrisy and ritualism. Verse 11, because Ephraim had made many altars to sin, altars shall be unto him to sin. Here's what you know, church. One of the many items of what I call the items in Israel's gross grocery cart of sin. They had a gross grocery cart of sin was the hypocrisy and the ritualism. They built all kinds of idols. They foolishly built many idols, many altars, but all the altars they was building, it naturally led them to sin. So we should not be surprised that these altars had no power but to influence them away from God. In verse 12, God says, I have written to you great things of my law, but you counted it as a strange thing. Interesting. God says, I gave you my word, I gave you the law of God. But now the law of God is a stranger. My thoughts, my word, my law, and now you're more familiar with idols and sin. Translation, Israel rejected the word of God. God's done great things for Israel. Again, parting the Red Sea, 10 miracles and signs, set them above the nation, helping her to conquer all her enemies, and now he's treated like a stranger. Here's what I want you to know, church. God and his words will become strangers to those who are set in idolatry and sin. Whenever you park in idolatry, whenever you continue to deliberately practice sin, what you're doing basically, all of a sudden you find yourself in a very precarious situation. I will submit to you, spiritually dangerous situation, because the word of God is no longer familiar, it's a stranger to you. It has no effect. You don't engage, you don't relate, you don't apply. You're no longer familiar. You won't even consult the word anymore. You see, the carnal person will not do that. The carnal man will not consult the word of God. The carnal man, he can't comprehend or seek the word of God. Don't treat God like he's a stranger. Don't treat God and his word like they're strangers in your house. You go into a home, God says, I'm the invited guest. You let me in, but now you've evicted me out and you treat me like a stranger. When we don't consult God in all matters of our lives, we treat God and his word like he's a stranger. Church, that's a dangerous situation. You can't be walking with God. And the personal application is God a stranger? Let's personalize it. Is God a stranger in my heart? Is God and his word, is he a stranger to my mind? Or am I very familiar and very close and he has the greatest influence in my life? And when God becomes a stranger and his word becomes a stranger, guess what? Then you can break his law, you can break his word, you can live ungodly, you can practice like the pagan, you can follow the secularist, you can follow those that are antichrist, and you embrace an antichrist spirit when God is a stranger and his word is a stranger. How so, Pastor? Look what they did in verse 13. They made sacrifices. They sacrificed flesh for the sacrifices of my offerings and eat it, but the Lord accepted them not. Now will he remember their iniquity and visit their sins, they shall return to Egypt. Application. Here's what happens. When you help yourself to a good dose of idolatry, when you create all these altars to accommodate your politics, to accommodate your desires, to accommodate the wishes and the philosophy of your people group, when you accommodate and you bring together all these idols to meet you where you want to be, you invite judgment.
We thank you for joining us today for the first part of Pastor Bernard's message, The Eviction of God and the Embracing of Idolatry, Part 3. In today's message, Pastor discussed the fact that the purpose of God's punishment for sin is to bring people to repentance. It is only through repentance that we can enjoy fellowship with Him. Because God loves us, He will not allow us to continue a life of idolatry. He will use chastisement to correct our sinful behavior so that we can enjoy an intimate relationship with Him. To learn more about having a relationship with God, visit our website at cbfdelray.org. We invite you to join us for the continuation of this message during our next program on Saturday at 1 p.m. Capturing His Conscience is a ministry of Cornerstone Bible Fellowship in Delray Beach, Florida. This ministry is supported by listeners like you. If Capturing His Conscience has been a blessing to you, please prayerfully consider visiting our website and making a donation to support the work of the Lord. Until next time, this is Tom Moon encouraging you to be more than an ordinary servant for an extraordinary God.